If you're following along, turn to the 77th Psalm. If I live long enough, I will read the whole Psalm. It is 20 verses. Now, a lot of people seem to, and this just really doesn't matter, but just a little Bible lesson. There's a lot of people who seem to think that David wrote all the Psalms. But David did not write all the Psalms. There were different people who wrote the Psalms. As a matter of fact, Solomon wrote some Psalms, and there's some that we're not even, we don't even know where they're at, that we don't have them around anymore. And there's one part different, there's one thing different about the book of the Psalms, is all of these divisions are valid. When you read any other book, the divisions, all these chapters, men put that there simply for convenience, Jack, so we could find passages easier, faster, or whatever. David, this here, there was a 77 Psalm. Now this is what the psalmist writes. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Amen. Now let me just stop a moment. When I go back through this, I'm not going into this verse by verse. I'll just touch on some points, re-mention some of these things that the psalmist said. After looking at this whole chapter, the psalmist did not feel this way at first. He could only say this after this situation had come to a head. Then he knew afterwards that God had heard his voice. And the reason I know that is because he says, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore, and it is better translated hand. Some of your Bibles may show you that. My hand ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was what? Troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Stop and think about that a minute, he said. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. And my spirit made diligent search. And then notice the cry of the psalmist here. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Stop. And think about that. Let me just say, some of these commentary writers, they write this and they say, well, the answer is rhetorical. It's no. That is true. The answer is rhetorical. It is no. But that's not the way the psalmist felt about it. Sorry. He felt these questions he's asking. Yeah. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God cast me off forever? Well, somebody say true believers don't think that way. All right, here's one that did. Yeah. I take this word over man's word. Oh, yeah. Well, if you're a true believer, you can't ever go that low. Well, I guess you ain't one, because you ain't been that low, have you? Yeah. You must not be one, because you ain't ever been that. Stop and think about it, he says. But then I want you to notice something. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob. And Joseph, stop and think about that. Amen. It says, stop and think about it. What's he saying? God is sovereign over the redemption of his people. Amen. That's what he remembers. This is a positive thing.
Yes, sir.
The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy paths in the great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. What's he saying? God is also sovereign over the elements.
Yes, sir.
Even they tremble in his presence. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, this kind of reminds me of some movies I've seen where you get this, you first begin to watch the movie, and before you actually even know the plot, they give you this snapshot of near the end. And then, after you get this snapshot of near the end, they take you back to the beginning and then work the way through the plot. And then, that snapshot at the beginning, when the end finally comes, Joe, it makes real sense. Now, what I want to try to talk to you about this morning is victory over spiritual depression.
Yes.
Now, many, if not every one of us here, have had our bouts with spiritual depression. And I'm going to use a few other words because I don't want that word to be misunderstood. It's all about spiritual misery. But it's more than just spiritual misery. It's a spiritual melancholy. It's a spiritual despondency.
Yeah.
You ever heard the old phrase, felt as low as a snake's belly in a wagon rut? Well, this goes beyond that. This gives where you even began to question God Almighty himself. And somebody says, I ain't never been there. Well, this ain't for you this morning. You can read a book or something, read the song book while you're here. I don't know. God's people, many of them, and in time, all of them will face something close to, if not equal to, this right here.
Yes, sir.
Think about it. We know about the day of trouble. We know about the restless nights and the comfortless soul. That's what he says in verse 2, right? When we think about God, our troubles even deepen because we're thinking about God as simply some outside force. I'm having all this inward trouble, all of this pain and misery and anxiety, and it seems like God's just out there. And, you know, the truth is God is out there. He is out there. So again, when we begin to think about God, our trouble deepens. Even complaint has been found on our lips, and it overwhelmed us in our spirit. Have you ever complained against God? I have. I'm not saying these things this morning to criticize you. I'm not saying these things this morning to speak down to you. These things are given to us as a fact of life as a believer in Christ. That sometimes when trouble comes, we can go into melancholy and despondency. This despondency, this depression, God even enhanced, according to verse 4. This despondency, this depression, God even enhanced by giving us more sleepless nights. Oh God, if I could just go to sleep. God says, no, I ain't going to let you. Ain't going to let you. It's not going to happen. God even makes the sleepless nights even worse. And we find this true inability to communicate. Right? Isn't that what it says? Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Well, I probably ought to stop and say some people, at least some who may hear this tape or whatever, may say, boy, that's sure not the Christian life I've been told about. That's sure not what these preachers are offering to me, and you're right, that's not what they're offering. They don't want you to know the truth, they want to get a following.
That's
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, when it comes to this thing of following Him, men ought to sit down and count the cost.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
You know what it says? This is not just something you come to church one Sunday, you hear one message, feel a little convicted of a sin or two, come forward and get fixed up. We're talking about bowing to, believing, trusting, serving, obeying God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about Him being first and me not even being second.
Exactly.
We're talking about Him being first and me being nothing.
That's it.
That's what we're talking about. Try Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't try the sovereign of the universe.
Not exactly.
Give your heart to Jesus. He don't want it. It's rotten. Joe done read it to us, didn't he? What's he want with that kind of heart?
Yeah.
And as the psalmist, one of the psalmists said, who can say, I've cleansed my own heart?
Exactly.
Nobody.
Yeah,
that's the problem with this modern day soul winning and this modern day trying to get people saved. They don't expect people to count the cost. They just want them to make a decision. Join up with the church and then we got you. They're totally contrary. I mentioned this even last week, and this is not a part of this message, but it's a fact. If you don't want to be here, you might as well not be here. If you'd rather be somewhere else, go there.
Yeah.
Because we're not playing a game here.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about our righteousness. Look what we are, sitting and complaining against God. Right? So much so, Joe, that He keeps my own eyes away. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. See, this kind of depression, drugs, and psychotherapy won't work.
Yeah.
Because
right.
You can't talk about it.
Yeah.
They said, well, talk about it. I can't. God won't let me. I'm so despondent. You know? Drugs don't help. All they do is make you feel even worse. I'll take a sideline. I do believe there is a such thing as clinical depression. I've seen it. But I have also seen, and I know this is a fact, some people will use that clinical depression as an excuse to rebel against God.
Yes, sir.
If you got clinical depression, take your medicine and still believe God.
Amen.
I don't care if you are clinically depressed, you're still as responsible to believe God as the person who is not clinically depressed.
That's right.
But I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about spiritual depression. This is something that even if it is biological, this is not something the mind is playing on you. This is something God Almighty has allowed to rain down upon your head. That's the hard part. Why, God? Why me? You know, the truth is, if we were truly righteous, we'd say, well, why not me?
Exactly.
You know? Why not me?
That's it.
No, we can't even talk. You can't put it into words until later, as I feel the psalmist did. He wasn't sitting there saying, boy, I'm going through this. You look at it. There's a change in this chapter here, right? And we'll look at that. There's a chain. A light comes on.
Yeah.
You know? A light comes on. This anguish, this anxiety even calls us to sometimes call into question, according to the first part of verse 7, God's very goodness. It causes us, according to the last part of verse 7, to sometimes call into question God's love. Now, I know somebody said, well, I thought y'all people did question God's love. Oh, no, we don't question God's love as a general rule. We question men's idea about God's love. That's our problem. What some men say about it. But I'm talking about a spiritual melancholy, a spiritual despondency that even causes this one who has known the love of God to wonder if God's love hasn't kind of went its own way. According to first part of verse 8, it may even cause us to question God's mercy. According to the last part of verse 8, we may even question, think about it, God's promises.
Yeah.
Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he let his anger overrule even his mercy? That's verse 9. And the psalmist says, think about that.
Yeah.
Right? Selah. You see, now, the psalmist, when he wrote this, wasn't there. But the psalmist at one time was there.
That's right.
Yes, he cried unto God with his voice, even unto God with my voice. And he did give ear, but I didn't know that at first. I didn't recognize that at first. However, before I go any further, let me just say this psalm is not an antidote to spiritual depression. This is not just some spiritual pill you can take and then you'll be all right. This is not an attitude you got to come up with. This is something God's going to bring you through. It's not, well, I got myself here, now I got to get myself out. No, God brought me there and God's going to bring me out.
Sir.
That's the whole point. That's what makes it so hard in the beginning is you realize God brought me here. Why?
Yeah.
Well, there is a reason why. God brought me here. Why? There's a reason why. But when you're in the midst of that despondency, somebody said, well, just go talk to old brother or sister so-and-so. Won't do no good. Let them alone. Let them alone. If you've tried once and you realize it don't work, let them alone. Somebody said, you talking about just leave them alone? No, leave them. Let me put it a different way. Leave them to God. That's a better way of putting it. You see, we all got something to say to somebody when they're feeling bad. Oh, I've been there. The person's feeling bad. The person who's here in this melancholy, they don't care. They don't care whether you've been there or not. They don't want to know where you was. They want to get out of where they are.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
They want to get out of where they are. And it is. The truth is, sadly, we can be there and then come out of it. God brings us out of it. And we forget how depressing it was. Because to the glory, Joe, that we see later, so does dim the remembrance of this melancholy state. The joy of what does come later is so much greater than what we was in, that the bad part of what we was in, that's what it's meant for.
Yes, sir.
It's meant to salve and to calm. But that's why we're reminded, you know, I couldn't even speak. I couldn't sleep at night. And this is real. We're not talking about allegories.
Yeah.
We're talking about a child of God that is in such trouble, such turmoil of heart and mind and soul and spirit that they have sleepless nights.
Yeah.
The tears, the more they try to stop the tears, the more the tears come. And then when they try to cry, they can't. They can't. But as I say it again, let me say it again. This psalm is not an antidote. I'm not telling you if you feel that way right now, will you just do this, you'll be okay. No, there's a path God's taking you on, and he will not bring you back till he's done with you.
That's true.
And that's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. This is an example. Oh, here's the hard part. This is an example of a self-centered nature. It's an example of a self-centered depression and how God alone can bring victory. Is that too hard? It's the truth. In this despondency, we were not victims. We're not victims. We're the subject of God's almighty sovereign purpose. But it's not the circumstance that was the problem.
Yeah.
It's not the trouble that caused us all the trouble. It's us.
Yes.
That caused our own self trouble when we had trouble. Now, if you don't understand what I just said, you've not been there, but if you've been there, you know what I just said. We're not victims here, but we have become self-centered introverts. When this trouble happens, we become so depressed, so melancholy, so despondent. What do we look at? Look at the chapter. I. It continues on for 9 verses.
Yes, sir.
Or I actually should say 8. Verse 1 is kind of that, you know, God did hear me.
Yeah.
Look at I. Look at it, read. I, ain't it? It was not until God enabled us to acknowledge our weakness. That's the infirmity. This is my infirmity. My problem is not the trouble. It's what? My problem's not that. It's me.
Amen.
When God enabled us to acknowledge this weakness, that's seen right there in the first part of verse 10. It's after he kind of brings the light on. That we begin to, once that light begins to dawn, once we begin to truly see that this is our infirmity. My. Not our. It ain't yours. It's mine. You know? This ain't something you share together with another believer. You may later talk with another believer about it. You may relate to one another about being there. But when you're here by yourself. I don't care if you've got husband or wife around you and family around you. You're here by yourself. And even if a spouse or a family member is going through the same trouble, you're still going through it by yourself. But it's not until God brings that light on that we truly begin to see His sovereign delivering power. You see, God continues to show us we're nothing. So we will constantly see He is everything. The victory comes not by our removal of trouble, or by a removal of trouble, but by the light coming on to where we see God Himself as our glory and our joy.
Yes.
The proof, as I've said, but let's look at it in a little detail. Look at the eyes, the me's, and the my's of the first few verses. Now look at it. These begin to be replaced in verse 10 and 11 and 12. I then begins to cry out what? Thy. Look at it.
Sir.
That's I. Has God forgotten me? His grace, you know? It's all about, is this happening to me? And look, and I said, this is my problem, my weakness, my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on thy way. And then after that, you don't read one more I. Do you? Look at it. You don't read another I. It's all thy. The I's, the me's, the my's, they're replaced by the thy's, the thou's of God's person and work. God, this is scripture. God said it to Abraham. And you can look at it. Let me just read it because I don't want to misquote that. It's Genesis chapter 15. A lot of people, they talk about Abraham. Oh, what a great blessing. What a great reward. God gave him all this land. Right? Well, that was a great reward. It was a great blessing. God gave him a multitude of family. Right?
Yes, sir.
And many of them, Mason, were actually God's people as well. They were some of his elect. But what did God remind Abram of? Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God Himself is the answer.
Yes, sir.
You won't get fed up with I until you get caught up with thy.
That's right. That's it.
The trouble will continually bring you to where all you can think about is me until He brings the light on and you see thy. This is not what God's going to do for us. It's simply who He is.
Yes,
Look at what he's already done. The truth is, folks, that's enough.
Yes, sir.
The Lord Jesus Christ died in my stead, and he died in my place, and he judicially justified me in God's sight. And he was pleased to reveal himself to me in time, in his holy word. Mason, I didn't even deserve that.
Exactly.
I didn't even deserve that. God himself is then began, we began to see once more, but in a newer way, in a different fashion, that God himself is my joy. God himself is my glory. Our delight is in his work. I is to be caught up with thy. So much so that I begins to cease.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even John the Baptist says, and John the Baptist had a prominent place in the purpose of God and Mason, even in the history of the redemption of God's people.
Yes, sir.
He had a very prominent, he was the one who would make way, the path of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He prepared that way. But you know what he said, don't you? He must increase. And I must what? Decrease.
Amen.
Yeah. Victory over spiritual depression comes when the I's begin to be overruled by the thys. That's when it happens. And not until. We will stay there until God turns the light on. Somebody said, well, I don't know if he's ever going to turn it on for me. Well, there has to be an initial time when he turns the light on. Let me just say that. But we're not talking here about God bringing unbelievers to be believers. We're talking about a believer here. Person who already cries upon the name of the Lord. You see, it takes a sovereign work of God to become fed up with thy and to feast on thy. Because we all by nature are caught up with I. We are self-centered individuals. And if you don't know that, God has not shown you any light yet. God hadn't shown you nothing yet. You just haven't seen it yet. Now he may. That's his business. Again, I say it takes a sovereign work of God to go from my voice. Look at it. You can read it over. I'm not going to read it again. My voice, my mind, my hand, my soul, my spirit, my eyes, my heart, to thy right hand, thy works, thy wonders, thy way, thy sanctuary, thy way, thy strength, thy arm, redemption, arrows, voice, path, footsteps, and thy people. It's a whole change of attitude here, ain't it? Whole change of attitude. You see, we're not prone to the rejection of I and glorying only in thy. Now, I'll tell you what, though. As long as you're caught up with I, if you're a believer, you will know this melancholy until God Almighty brings you to your wit's end and you begin to be caught up with thy.
Exactly.
You've got to stay there until. You've got to stay there until. Spiritual depression is not some result of our circumstances. It's a result of the fact that we are sinful, self-centered creatures. Our Lord Jesus Christ was always caught up with his Father's business. And I have to say that most of us, we've not yet suffered under blood. Have we? We've not yet suffered. Ain't none of us in danger of being no martyr for Jesus, have we? I've thought about this for so long and then began to go into more detail. I woke up laughing last night. And I was shaking my hands in my sleep. And I woke up and I was doing that. I was thinking about preaching this. And I was shaking my hands. The reason is, I'm not talking about some weird vision, folks. I'm talking about remembering the past. I'm talking about remembering this despondency.
Well,
and let me tell you, it does end.
Yes, sir.
It does end. Now, I'm not saying, it's just like a lot of other things. I mean, you go out here and break your arm, it's going to heal up. But you're going to have trouble with it for a long time. And when you go through this, David, there's always going to be those memories of the past. But when God brings you to get tired of I and to be caught up with thy, it's a whole lot better.
Yes, sir.
It's a whole lot better. You know, you come to that place, things happen, you think, uh-oh, is God about ready just to uncover me? Is he about ready just to expose me? You ever felt that way? You're like Henry Mann said, everybody wants everybody to come to the front of the church, all these religious people. Come to the front of the church if you need help or if you need repentance or just whatever. And the whole point, the whole thing is set up to make the people who come forward look guilty. So people are automatically prone not to want to come forward, because if I do, everybody's sitting back saying, I wonder what they did last week. I wonder what they're having to go up there and repent about and pray for. Aren't they? Let me tell you something. You confess your sins to God. You don't confess them to me. I don't want to hear them. I got my own to deal with. I got my own. It says we confess our faults to one another. We confess our sins only to God.
Yes, sir.
Only to God. So again, I say spiritual depression is not a result of our circumstances. There are some of God's people who went through horrendous circumstances, and they've done it in victory. Right?
Yes,
not in melancholy and depression. But let me tell you this. This is not, again, it's not accusation. This is a fact of life. Paul said even of himself, I despaired even of life. Right?
Amen.
He'd been there, hadn't he? He'd been there. I'm not here preaching down to you, I'm preaching to you, with you, for you. If you're there right now, you're going to stay there until God brings you out. And that's the only good counsel I can give you. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, well, if you just come forward, pray this prayer, if you'll just think this way. See, the problem is when you're in that depression, when you think about God, what happens? Your troubles worsen. Psalmist was honest with us. Scripture sometimes deals with us where we ought to be. Right? It tells us sometimes you're over here and you shouldn't be there. You need to get over here.
Yeah.
But sometimes it deals with us not where we ought to be, but just where we are.
Yes, sir.
And it says you're there by God's own sovereign purpose, and you can't do a lick of thing about it until God Almighty decides to change this matter. Somebody said, well, I thought it was all up to people. Not according to this psalmist. It's God that has to deliver, right?
Yes, sir.
He's the Redeemer. He's the one that has offered, now, I put it that way now, because of the new covenant in Christ. He's the one who has offered sacrifice for sin one time forever.
Yes, sir.
He's the one of thy arm, thy redemption, thy arrows, thy voice, thy path, thy footsteps, thy people. God said to Israel, and it's true of every one of his that he's chosen, it pleased me to make you my people. That's what he says. Victory over spiritual depression is clearly not a result of our ability, but of God's free gracious gift in revealing his splendor to us and his making us content with that. I'm content with his splendor. You see, there are certain things that happen to you in life and they're never going to change. I'll give you just have to give you, a couple examples. If you suffer through a divorce, you're going to be divorced. Now, you may remarry, but you're only remarried. You didn't never annul that divorce, Joe. It's going to be a fact of life for as long as you live. Right, Jack? It ain't going to change. I'll be a little more pointed. If you had a spouse, or you've had a child, or you've had a loved one die, they will remain dead. Until that final day, that's not going to change. It's not going to change. You see, the glory is not in God making everything better. That God taking away the trouble. You know? God causing the trouble to cease to exist. Calvin, sometimes trouble just piles upon trouble. And you think, when will it ever quit? Well, trouble may not. Trouble won't quit.
That's true.
But God remains the same.
Amen.
And when He begins to be our comfort, when we actually find joy in who He is and what He has done, that's a balm. That's a pill like no person in this world could understand. I mean, what is it? Whatever that is, Xanax or what? It won't touch this. It don't touch this. Those things are kind of, you know what they basically are, don't you? They're drugs. They're like any other kind of drug. It is basically a glossing over of the surface. That's all it is. And all of this psycho talk is generally one ignorant person talking to another ignorant person, and neither one of them has any idea about the truth of God, and they babble on until they can agree that they agree, and I feel better then. Right? Yeah. As long as the patient's arguing with the doctor, there ain't going to be no help. If the doctor's arguing with the patient, there ain't going to be no help. But when they can come to agree. See, I'm not telling you you got to agree with me this morning for you to feel okay. I'm telling you, if you're one of God's and He's took you down this path, one day this will happen to you. He'll bring you out of it.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Now, it's not going to change the trouble, but you'll see Him again and afresh. Think of it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 31. Basically, is this. God, talk about Christ. God has made Him to be. Right? Made Him to be to us wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. He's made unto us these things. Does God give us some wisdom? Yes. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. But Christ is my wisdom.
Yes, sir.
If I want to look at real wisdom, if I look at you know where I'm going to end up at? First nine verses of Psalm 77. You say, well, what about what God's done for you? I don't always see that. Sometimes I see me without what God's done for me. Sometimes I see me, my sin, my failures, my cryings against God, my complaints. Those things don't encourage you. But the person and work of God does. Colossians chapter 2, it says of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, if this is, there's something to do with it, because Scripture says it's, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says it's a picture, it's a type, it's a symbol. And it's called marriage. Sadly, maybe some of us don't know what that really means. We really don't. Some do. But it's like when two people get caught up with one another. And they want to spend as much waking time as possible together in one another's company. They want to, David, enjoy the characteristics of this other person. They actually find fulfillment, not in themselves. Well, they could care less about themselves, but it's this other person, right? It's what the psalmist is talking about.
Yeah.
Being enthralled with, and not just that, it's not just amazed at, but comforted by, being joyed by, being felt as though you've been bestowed some great glory. And it is. To be able to actually rejoice in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I want to give you a quote. I don't know who wrote this quote. I discovered it in one of the commentaries I have there at home, and it was on Psalm 77. Here's the quote. Occupation with self brings distress. Occupation with others brings discouragement. Occupation with Christ brings delight.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what that means? Can you relate to that? Father, I pray that as we continue together here, we will be comforted in mutual fellowship, but Lord, not in our goodness, not in our perfections, we have none. But may it be that we're comforted together in the fellowship of the gospel of thy Son. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.